Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. Let's begin by focusing on God, His Word, and just quieting our hearts, our minds. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, Lord. We ask you to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. We ask you to speak to our hearts, to show us your ways. As we look at your word, I pray, Lord, that your word will reveal your truth, Lord, in each one of our lives, and cause us, Lord, to come to you, cause us to draw closer to you. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today, I'd just like to share about the path of life, looking at Psalm 16:11. So I just want to start by reading Psalm 16 verse. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So Psalm 16 is a messianic psalm, and verses 8 to 11 was quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost as a prophecy fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And verse 11 preeminently speaks about Jesus, and it describes the joy felt by the Lord after his death and resurrection and upon his ascension. Christ has entered the joy of his finished work at Calvary. So Christ made a choice to come to earth, to live and to die, to purchase our salvation in place of the joy that was naturally, that was his naturally. As the Son of God, he came to Calvary. He endured the agony, the humiliation to save us from our sins. And when the work at Calvary was finished, he entered the pleasure and joy of his Father, the perfect and unbroken fellowship with the Father. The humiliation was over. No longer he stood before God as the object of wrath and curse. So we look at Hebrews 12:2, for it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This was the joy before him, us, our salvation, our freedom, we being reconciled to God, the path of life, he had provided for us. So let's look at the path that Christ took. The path that Christ took would be a path celebrating God's love for a broken world. He was committed to his Father whom he loved, this Father who is holy and good. And this path that he took led to the power and curse of sin being broken in our lives. And therefore, we have a new life in Christ. This path that he took restored our relationship with God. And now we have an inheritance in Christ. And this path made a way for the lost to come back to the Father. And the Bible talks about a great celebration, a great rejoicing when the lost returns. And Jesus says this in Matthew 15, 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So this path that Christ took was a difficult path, but he saw the joy before him, us, and he walked this path for us. And so it's very important for all of us to remember the path he took for us, to reflect, to deliberate, to think about it, because when we sit down and think of this path, it humbles us. It brings a thankfulness, a gratefulness in our hearts, and a joyfulness for what Christ has done for us. So the path described in Psalms 16:11 is a path to life, a path of freedom. It's talking about a path of living in God's presence and experiencing joy forevermore. It's talking about a path that is about having eternal pleasures at the right hand of God. And this is the path that God has planned for each one of us. So we often choose a path with a destination in mind. And when we are clear where we are going, we are prepared to take this path. Okay, this is actually from Sunday school. So, however, sometimes in this path that we are prepared to take, because we know our destination, we are going towards eternal life. We have made a decision and we are moving in this direction. We are prepared. But what happens is that sometimes some unforeseen things happen on this path. There are challenges, there are obstacles, and sometimes there are even roadblocks. And usually roadblocks happen because the Word of God is telling us something about ourselves that God wants us to deal with, that God wants us to look into. So when we have all these things, these unforeseen things, we are taken sometimes, maybe not off guard, but we are maybe less prepared, or, you know, we find it overwhelming, or we find it challenging. And if you think about David also did not know how this path would look like when he was anointed to be king. In his journey, he faced many obstacles and challenges, but he knew who was with him on this path, and that helped him in his journey. And we also have this assurance that on this path that we have Christ, who is going to walk with us, that who is going to help us. So when we look at our journey, we find that we have a God who is our refuge, and this God is the one who is going to keep us safe. And then in verse 2, it says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. We have the best on this journey. That is the presence of God, His strength, His power, His promises. So we have the best. And we say, apart from Him, there is no good thing. So on our journey, we are assured of refuge. And on our journey, we are assured of the very best, God's presence. And then we also have on our journey a blessing. We are blessed. Verse 5 says, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful experience. So it says here that we are blessed with an eternal inheritance and our path is secure. Then it goes on to say that we have counsel in this path. I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. We have counsel. He reminds us. He speaks to us. And then it says that because He is with us, I will not be shaken. So this is the promise of what, because of what Christ did, because of the path that Christ took, we have these promises in the path that we are walking. So there is a story in Matthew 19, 16 to 26. It tells us about a rich young ruler. And he too was looking for a path to eternal life. So he comes to Jesus and he says, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowfully, for he had possessions. So this rich young man, he thought he was in the right path because he obeyed all the laws. And when Jesus asked him, he said, Yes, I do all of this. I have kept all of this. What do I still lack? You see, even though the young man was keeping all of this, he still knew that there was something not right on his journey, that there was something still wrong, missing. There was a roadblock that he was looking for in his life, a revelation of something. And so he asked Jesus, and then Jesus tells him, Go sell all your possessions and follow me. Then you will be on the right path by doing this. But when he heard this, he understood what was required. But he chose not to follow the path. He went away sorrowfully because he was so concerned with his inheritance that he could not see the light, the joy, and the pleasures that stood before him in this path. And many times we think that we are on the right path, the path that Christ has called us, because we are following laws, the commandments, like this young man, you know, I do not murder and I'm not bearing false witness and I'm not committing adultery and I honor my father and mother and all these things we are saying, you know, and we think we are doing all this. We are giving our tithes, we are serving in ministry. And so like the rich young man, we think that we are on the right path until God's word reveals to us that we are not, that there is something wrong. And many times we know what this thing is. Like this man, he knew what it was. And he says, what do I still lack? So we need to ask ourselves this question. Are we in this place where we know what Christ is asking of us, but we refuse? We walk away. And we miss out on the joy and the pleasures of the presence of God. Because the path that God calls us to is very different. It is a new path from the old one we have been walking on. It is a new way of doing things, thinking, living, speaking, a new way of loving people. It is a path where we are to lay down our ways for the ways of Christ. And sometimes we think it's not a big thing. Maybe it's a small thing. It is not so relevant. And even though the word of God is speaking to us, the sermons are talking to us, the time of prayer and worship, the Lord is reminding us. We find that struggle in each one of us. But sometimes we think it's too difficult. And sometimes we think it's just one thing. It's not a big thing. So the other day in Sunday school, we were talking about this one thing being not right in our lives. And so the illustration that we used was, if you wanted to make a chocolate chip cookie and you had all the ingredients, you know, the chocolate chip and egg and bread, butter and all the ingredients of flour and egg and all these things, but one ingredient is missing, and that is the butter. And then you think, let me substitute this butter with car oil. So you make this, and I was telling the children, and I'll give it to them. Would you eat it? Because it's only one ingredient that is missing. I mean, the important thing, the chocolate chip is there. You know, it's only this one thing that is missing that I substituted it for. But everyone said, oh no, it's disgusting, I won't eat it, and all those things. Why not? It's only one thing. But it's in the same thing in our walk. We cannot overlook this one thing and dismiss it and say, I'm doing okay. The next thing we're going to look is the path that we have in Christ. So the fulfillment of Christ affects our lives because Christ fulfilled that path. It affects our lives. And this text is true to Jesus, and this is what we saw earlier. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And so this is true for Christ. He is with his Father in his presence, with that joy, with eternal pleasures at his right hand. And so what is true for Christ is true for his people. What is true for our Savior automatically becomes true for us. We are in Christ, one with Christ. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The head and the body are one. The vine and the branches are one. Because Christ has pleasures forevermore in God's right hand, he has enjoyment in God's presence, and so we have this too. The joy of the Christian is a joy that has already begun because it is in Jesus Christ. And we, his children, have access to God's presence and his power, not only in the future in heaven, but here and now too. And as Christians, we have this right to have this joy and this privilege to be able to live our lives in the presence of God. His throne of grace is open to us. We can come boldly to his throne to receive from him. We live in his presence, and his power is available for us because of the path that Christ had walked. So because that power is for us, is available to us, is given to us, we can live holy lives. We can pray effectively. We can be witnesses. We can do the things that we are called to do. We are enabled to do the things that God has called us into. We have this power. We know the right hand of God because Jesus is at the right hand of God. In Ephesians 2:6, it says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." So we are seated with Christ. We have access to God's presence and to his power. And this is the Christian life, the path that we are called to walk in. So as we think about this and we ask this question, I want you to ask yourselves, what do I know about the presence of God, about living in the fullness of that joy? What am I experiencing of the power of God? There is only one thing that can take us out of the presence of God. There is only one thing that can rob us of enjoying the presence of God, and that is sin. And so just let's think about this. Like that young man who came to God, who came to Jesus, there was something there that he was struggling with. And so we too. So we need to ask ourselves, is there anger in our hearts? Is there things that we regret? Is there pride? Is there a stubbornness towards what God is asking us to do? And then we also need to think about what robs us from his presence. Our time and the things that we are doing. How much time do we spend in his presence, at his feet, with his word? Our joy has begun, and nothing can keep us from his presence. Nothing can keep us from walking in this path, except these idols and this sin that he calls us to look at, these roadblocks that he stops us and asks us to examine. But the best joy is ahead of us as we enter into the joy of the Lord, the perfect joy of seeing Jesus face to face. So which path will you follow? This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. Let us pray. I praise you, Jesus. Let us just take a few moments to just examine our own lives. To think about where Christ is calling us, the path that he's calling us on. This path is available to us. Because of what Christ has done for us. But there are certain things that we know, and maybe there are some things that we are not aware of. These roadblocks that have come to be revealed to us. And what are we doing about it? Because we have the power. To overcome. The presence of God is with us. He invited that young man to come, follow me, he said. But he turned away sorrowfully because he wouldn't. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us through your word, Lord. Help us to not sweep things under the rug or make things small. Help us, Father, to see things as they are. We thank you for showing us, Lord, the path that you took. We thank you for what you have done for us, Lord. The price that you paid. We thank you, Lord, that the power of sin and the curse of sin is broken upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we live in freedom. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us on this journey. Teach us, Father, to walk in submission to you, Lord, to do things according to your ways, that we will not walk away sorrowfully because we refuse to die to ourselves, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, that you will, Lord, speak to us and help us, Father, to know that you are with us, that we are not alone, and that you will help us. As we come, Father, to pray, I just ask you to pour out your Spirit, to minister to each one of us. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord. Teach us to be humble before you. For at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, and in your presence there is joy. We want to be in that place, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father, we praise you. We thank you. We come before you, Lord, pray for Syria and Turkey. Dear Lord, you are a great God. And all things are in your hands. And you have called us to pray. To look to you, Lord. To intercede for others. And we come believing in you, dear Lord, knowing that this time is precious before you, that you receive, Lord, the prayers of your people. And dear Lord, we stand and we pray for the people of Turkey and Syria. We pray for healing. We pray, Lord, that you would be with this nation in this time of brokenness. That you will bring restoration, that you will draw people into your presence, that you would move, Lord, the rest of the world to show compassion and kindness, that you will be with all agencies and heading the rescue and work, that you help rebuild this nation on your foundations, dear God. Dear Lord, we look to you, Lord Father. We pray, Lord, that your spirit will move, that you will do a mighty thing, Lord, among your people. You will declare your name holy and true. Dear Lord, we also want to lift our nation into your hands. We do pray, Lord Father, that in times like this, that you will continue to do the work of healing. Our own nation is broken in many ways. There's so much disunity, suspicion, and anger. And we pray, Lord Father, that you would continue, Lord, to stir the church, your people, to seek your face and to pray. To seek, Lord, a revival, to seek a renewal, Lord. We pray especially for the churches, Lord Father, that you pour out your spirit, that you stir the people, that you will move hearts to come before you, that you set our hearts on fire to desire, Lord, more of you, that you will move us to pray, to seek your face, dear Lord, that we will understand that it's you, Lord, who call us, that it's you, Lord, who move, Lord, all things. It is you who open our eyes and our hearts, Lord, to you. And so we pray, Lord, for that outpouring of the Spirit. We pray that eyes will be opened, that the people will hear and listen, that hearts will respond to the gospel, that people from all walks of life and all races will come before you, dear Lord. We pray for breakthroughs in regards of the laws. We pray for breakthroughs, Lord, Father, in regards, Lord, of leadership within the churches, that our hearts will be drawn to you, and we will be focused, Lord, on moving towards your heart, touching your heart, dear Lord. Lord, we long for these things to happen. And dear God, we are powerless. We cannot do this on our own. So we seek, Lord, our pouring of your spirit. Anoint us, fill us, move within us. Dear Lord, stir within us the gifts. Open our eyes and give us that vision, Lord. Help us to see clearly the communities that you are moving us towards. Help us to understand the times and seasons and act accordingly, dear Lord. Help us, Lord, to build our faith firmly on your word and your truth. So, Lord, we come before you. Lead us, Lord. Guide us, Lord, Guide this nation. Guide your church. Guide your people, Lord Father, in all this. Dear Lord, also we come before you and look for healing, Lord, those who are not well. We just pray, Lord Father, that you continue, Lord, to restore good health. We pray, Lord, for Brother Harold, continue to lift him up into your hands, that he will experience, Lord, the fullness of your healing and encouragement. And in this time and season, that he will know that you are with him. And even his family, Lord, will be blessed by your presence and your comfort, Lord, Father. Dear Lord, we also pray anyone else, Lord, is not well, that they will heal them and lead them, Lord. Dear Lord, also we want to thank you for the baptism this Sunday. We just pray for the candidates. We pray, Lord Father, for the entire baptism gathering, Lord. We pray that your presence will be upon your people. Dear Lord, that we'll be reminded, rejoice, Lord, that we have been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but you live with us, Lord. We have your life and your spirit within us. So, Lord, there is so many things that you have done, so many promises that you have given. There's so much goodness in your heart. Continue, Lord, to awaken us, Lord, to these things. Continue, Lord, for us to desire your glory, your goodness, your grace, dear Lord, Father. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for everything you're doing, Lord. We just want to commend our church. We want to commend every person into your loving hands. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.